This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Welcome to the parables. Jesus' obtuse way of imparting information to his disciples in a way that absolutely no one else will understand. Let us not feel surprised or concerned if we feel confused. God was clever as a human being, rather exceptional, actually. Don't forget it. In today's gospel, Jesus tells this parable of a sower. Presumably, this sower is broadcasting seed across a terraced landscape, which is why he hits so many different kinds of soil. Some of it is rocky, not yet prepared for crops. Some of it is thorny because thorns served as fencing. Some of it is thin because it is indeed a path. But the rest of it is good, rich soil that's been prepared. And what the sower would see as a result of this wide broadcasting of seed, Jesus feels could be a helpful analogy for the people who are gathered there to hear him speak. The disciples feel differently about the helpfulness of this analogy, as evidenced by the part that is missing from today's lectionary reading. You'll notice that this reading is Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, and then 18 to 23. There's a gap. And what happens in this gap is that the disciples come and ask him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answers, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand." And he is quoting the prophet Isaiah and sharing with them that they alone hold the knowledge and understanding of God, indeed because they have been with him. And we omit this part in our reading. So if you're only taking your Bible in the chunks that we give you on Sundays, you may be inclined to take on some concern or to feel like the doubt and confusion you might feel isn't faithful, or that you're missing something. And indeed you are, the whole gap. I assure you, the disciples were faithful. And clearly they were confused by this information and its directive quality, and they pushed back. While faithful, they are also arguing. While blessed by eyes that see and ears to hear, they still don't understand why Jesus is doing what he is doing. Imagine that. And it's a good thing they ask, because he then goes on to clarify what happens to the seeds in each of these soils and how they relate to the faith of the people in the world. And of course, we could wonder about the sower and why he cast the seeds that way. And of course, we could consider the soil and wonder how we could come to cast the seeds of our faith into richer soil. Or we could consider what kind of soil we individually are, or how we could amend the soil in ourselves to be better farmers so that our work will indeed yield good fruit when planted by us. But that is not the work of the lectionary today, because this reading is paired with Paul's letter to the Romans and also Isaiah. So thank goodness for the clarity of Paul, huh? Paul has just before this talked about the inner conflict of living within the law and the sin that swells within each of us. He has just been lamenting that he does what he doesn't want to do and doesn't do what he does want to do. You know that part of the letter, right? So in chapter 8, where we are today, he is reassuring the Romans that they do not have to worry because they are baptized and thus will not be condemned. It is that simple. Living water means life eternal, and that is end game, friends. That's it. And yet here we sit in the struggle that is life, wondering how we will make it to bedtime without falling apart, why we are unable to complete all of the to-dos on our list, unwilling to make amends with people towards whom we hold grudges, always eating not quite the right things, unable to avoid the doom scroll that sets us up for repeated mental disaster perpetually. Saint and sinner both, confused and enlightened at the same time, willing and refusing in the same single moment, over and over and over again, because we are human and divine. We are spirit and flesh. This is by design, and it is understood by God, and we will not be condemned for it. Because by the very act of your baptism, it is blessed and sanctified and made whole by God. You are blessed and sanctified and made whole by God. There is nothing for you to do but to be loved and to share that love. End of story. So what do we do with that? Isaiah tells us that we shall go out in joy and be led back in peace, because the word that goes out from God's mouth shall not return to God empty, but it shall accomplish that which God purposes and succeeds in the thing for which God sent it. The word that goes out from his mouth, of course, is Jesus. Jesus will accomplish God's purpose. Jesus is always the answer, particularly if you've been to seminary. It's always Jesus. So we only have to trust in Jesus. Do you trust in Jesus? I do. I mean, mostly. On paper, in theory. Certainly in my sermons. But I also really like to rely on myself, because I really trust me. And I would rather be irritated with myself than with anyone else. So that if I fail me, I can forgive me, and if I can't forgive me, I can go to therapy about it. And this is what Paul means by the flesh. I would rather trust in myself than the Spirit, because I am a biologist and I like things that I can see and observe. I like evidence. The Spirit is not that, and neither is Jesus, and nor is God for that matter. Visible, there is no evidence. And there's the rub. How do we believe in something we cannot see or measure or prove? Something that seems to disappoint us. It's difficult to do. And so I rely on myself, on the flesh, on the concrete, and that, my friends, is control. But I am not in control, am I? I mean, you know that. Some of you might even be grateful for it. God is in control. And as Bishop Doyle wrote this week in a pastoral letter that he released, we do not know yet how this will go according to God's will. But we do know how to walk in his presence. And that's the key. We don't know yet what the will is. But we do know how to walk in God's presence. Whether or not I actually make it to bedtime sanity intact can be impacted how I deal with my daily life, how I amend my soil, how I cast the seed, and whether I tend to my garden. But I do not have control over the weather, do I? How we fail daily is disappointingly normal and part of who we are. And so is our love and the joy that we carry in the Spirit. Both are acceptable to God within the realm of our eternal lives that are already happening now. We can go out in joy and come back in peace, knowing that the word that goes out from God's mouth shall not return to God empty, but it shall accomplish that which God purposes and succeed in the thing for which God sent it. So the weather is not for me to decide. And there will be disappointments daily. But I will tell you the joy that I feel when the soil I tend bears beautiful fruit is evidence to me that I am walking in God's presence. So I will keep my eyes and my ears trained to that and I will keep trying despite my glorious limitations. And I will let that be enough. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.